very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run-Through, your favorite figure skating podcast where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us turn 35 today. My name is Adam Rippon, and I'm 35 today, and Ashley's mouth is wide open because we both do this to
idiot.
Each other.
Every year, not. Every year.
But the both of us,
passcode for a while
was my birthday.
It was 11-11-89.
Yes, and so I just want to say happy birthday to me, 35. The nation celebrates. The nation is in celebration, you guys. The nation is celebrating.
I'm horrible. Happy birthday. 35 has never looked so dewy.
Can I say something? And Ashley, you know this for sure about me.
Yeah.
When I was in my late 20s, I kept saying, I'm 30. Mm-hmm. And you would.
Yeah, no, it started, don't even say late 20s. It was like you hit 24 mm-hmm. and you called yourself 30.
That's true. Yeah. And so when I turned 30, I went, oh, I'm the age that I am supposed to be. And now that I'm 35, for the past few years, I'm like, no, I'm the age I'm supposed to be. 35 is the right age for me.
And everyone else is the wrong age.
I'm not really concerned about other people.
I am.
Which is sort of an American mentality right now of being not concerned about other people.
We'll get there
in a second. But yeah. I just want to say this is really terrible for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't really give a care.
It's your birthday. This is your gift to you.
I am starting to, and this is you have to play the long game with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get a bit of pleasure out of looking around and seeing people that I've known for a long time. They're aging worse than me.
Okay. Are you looking at me?
No, I'm not. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking on Instagram and I'm seeing, oh, too much time in the sun.
That's a wrinkle.
And that's, I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is we uploaded our last episode the day after the U.S. presidential election, and we recorded it a few days before. Mm-hmm. So if there was a hint of whimsy or a glimmer of hope in our voices.
That's gone now.
It's gone now. But I do want to say that we did get a lot of messages saying that it was nice to hear our episode.
And I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And I think that's why we all felt like it was important to still upload it. Just something that like...
just your favorite figure skating podcast to bring a little light to that dark day.
Right.
To put it pretty simply.
But you know what? Now to turn the page, which is something that in American culture we won't be doing, but mm-mm. in figure skating culture we are going to do it.
They turned a page. They started a new chapter. Honestly, this event, they might have been reading a completely different book.
You know what? This happens in skating where there is a really rough event, that being the Grand Prix de France. And then it's followed by an excellent event, the NHK Trophy.
NHK is, I feel like, typically a really strong event across the board. Because obviously you have the strongest Japanese skaters typically at this event. And so it's a guarantee for just great skating. And the Japanese audience is always incredible. It was one of my favorite audiences to skate in front of. And Adam, I saw a tweet that said, is it just me or is the run through messing with my eyes? This ice looks really white.
No, It's not just you. And I'm going to tell you, listener and figure skating viewer, when you are in the arena, there are no logos on the ice. There's nothing. It's just a white sheet with very bright lights flashing up against
it. Well, there's like NHK in the middle. But that's it.
Yeah, they could do with something. They could do with, honestly, making the white a bit more pearl or gray or something. It's quite intense, wouldn't you say?
I never once thought it until you put it in my head. And then every single event after that, my retinas were blinded by that ice. Fun fact, that rink doubles as a pool.
Yes,
that is. It smells like chlorine backstage, and it is so hot.
Do you want to know another fun fact?
Tell me.
At the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles, the SoFi Center, is it center? I don't know. The SoFi, it will host the gymnastics and the swimming. So when the gymnastics is happening, it will be happening over the pool. So there'll be a platform put over the pool.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. But are they just going to like break it up in half schedule-wise? So like gymnastics gets the first half, swimming the second?
So usually it's gymnastics and swimming coincide with each other.
Right.
Now, when track and field is usually in the second half of the Olympics, it's going to be gymnastics and track to lead us. And then swimming will be the second half.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. I'm excited for that Olympics. It's going to be incredible.
I am too. And the other thing I'm excited about is that So Young Wee's Lucky Stripe socks, they worked this time.
Oh, that's right. You can recognize a superstitious skater from a mile away.
I can. And her lucky socks, they worked this time. Now, something else I do need to do some housekeeping is I've really kind of pushed the agenda of Alyssa Liu having tooth gems, which she does not. She has a piercing.
What are they?
That's a piercing.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I stutter?
Is this an intimate question? Pierced what part of her body?
She pierced like
her gums?
Yeah. Herself. Because she said it I don't know. I think it's like more lip than gum.
Oh my God.
Now, okay, Ashley,
quoting her. Quote her.
Why did she do it herself? Because it was, what? Quote.
Like Parent Trap style?
Uh-huh. Why did she do it herself, Ashley? Why do you think? Because it was what?
Stupid.
Cheaper.
Stupid. That's an infection waiting to happen.
Oh, it absolutely is an infection waiting to happen. Okay, so I since we're talking about
Alyssa
quickly.
How do you do that by yourself?
I don't care. I don't know. I don't want to know.
Okay, let's talk about Alyssa. Hey, her free skate, that program, it's almost like she listened to our episode. We were like, it's not good because it was so much better this time around.
I'm going to say something.
Say it.
Alyssa came back to skating because she's an adrenaline junkie, right? Like missed the thrill of competing. Someone needs to sit down with her and they need to teach her about the thrill of performing. Because once Alyssa finds performing thrilling, she will become a really great performer. Because she's smiling and she's doing all the right things because she knows that's how you compete. But if she really knew how to perform and she found it thrilling, she would be a thrilling performer. Does that make sense?
I'm following you. I agree. This was way better, though.
Yes.
This looked way less little kids dance recital and way more senior lady competing on the Grand Prix circuit. Her short program, I think, is fabulous. Her long program, I was not bought into the fantasy at the last event she was competing at. Is that Canada? Skate Canada?
Yes, it was Canada.
Yeah. This time around, the ponytail, bouncing better. The winking better.
Blinking better and winking.
Blinking better. Mm-hmm. It had a little bit more life to it, which I can only assume means she's just 2 more weeks further along in her training, so it's easier to commit and put more energy into the skate. They do tend to go to like smiley things And I would love for her to do less.
You know what? The thing is that like the short program, it's been confirmed. I had a suspicion that she chose this music and she really wanted to skate to it because she just skates to it in a way where it's like, I love this song. And I was right. She did choose it. And with the free skate, you can tell that she's like still buying into it. Mm-hmm. So the best that she can do right now is show her little bull ring piercing that's under her.
They're like little vampire teeth. They're like little silver spikes.
We will all look back, Alyssa included, going, what were we thinking?
No, I don't. Alyssa does everything with conviction. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about her. If she's going to smile, she's going to smile so hard. If she's going to pierce her gums, she's going to do it herself because it's cheaper.
Can I talk about something that's important? Because I brought up aging and aging well and aging better mm-hmm. than others. Mm-hmm. When Mona Chiba went out for the short program, I went, what happened? She looks 10 years old. That's all I'm saying. What happened?
I think that like generation of Japanese skater in particular can go really, really young or super refined. Because in the free skate, she was a vision in red. Mm-hmm. She was stunning. She was packaged really well. But I just think if you're not smart with the packaging, they can look like they're 8 years old. And the music, it's like the whole total package. You really have to be mindful of what you're doing.
But it's crazy that she's the same girl from the Grand Prix last year.
I was watching her free skate here and genuinely had that exact same thought. Where last year, she didn't really feel much.
She was lost in the shuffle almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, but making some big mistakes. This year I'm like, no, this is the woman who lands all her jumps.
She was so good. I really loved her. Can we talk about the most stunning skater to ever grace the ice after Satoko Miyahara?
Lara Naki Gutman.
Who actually... We finally got a new free skate from her, and I really did like it.
Okay, wait. I know who you're talking about for real, but I just want to say we're going to come back to Lara Naki Gutman, but that is my weird little girl. She just is weird.
And her 2-foot spin?
Yeah, the cross foot is so good. I love her. I love her so much. And I love her. She's so Lara funky. Naki Gutman. She's just weird, and she's kooky. Yeah. And she's a girl from science class in biology. That's what I'm just like. That's my little weird girl. Now,
right.
My little not weird girl, Yuna Aoki.
The most beautiful skater to ever grace the ice. That program, the transitions in that program, there's not a spare second wasted. No. She spins both ways, and she's probably the only skater I've ever seen spin both ways and not make me go, oh. Right. She's spinning the other way.
This is going to go back to the point.
Actually, wait, that's not true. My weird little girl. And she's not a little girl. She does the sow the other way.
Oh, Sonia Meyer. Sonia Henny.
Henny.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Sanderson.
Sonia Hilmer. Richards-Ross. Sonia Hilmer. Sonia Richards-Ross. Is that what you said?
Sonia Hilmer, my weird little girl.
Yeah, she is your weird little
She's
girl.
Probably the only other skater where I've seen spin the other way mm-hmm. and it doesn't feel like jarring to me.
She's also probably sewing a dress right now too. Now
she is.
This makes me think about the point that I made last week where I think the spins are just too, like, everything's so overly complicated that they're ruining it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Yuna Aoki. Why are you making her do a heel hop in the middle of a fucking camel spin? Let her do a gorgeous spin. You're ruining it. You're ruining it.
For all of us.
Yes. And you know, Ashley, I've been daydreaming about just taking the levels out of the spins and the footwork. And I understand the point that you were making of like it can become political, but like at this level, everybody's going to find their way to doing a level 3 or a level 4, right? And when you get to a level three or level four, you're talking about half a point. So you're making people do all of this fucking bullshit for half a point, and none of it looks good.
I think they just need to open up how you can get to a level four. There's not enough routes to a four.
And at that point, just who cares? But, you know, here's the thing, Ashley, we know how many different variations people can do, and we know all of that stuff. So if somebody said do a beautiful flying camel, nobody's going to go out there and do some bullshit flying camel three rotations and get out. They can, but they'll get minuses. If somebody was like, you need to go do a gorgeous layback right now, there's no level, I would have somebody go out and do like this gorgeous, hold it for 10, 15 rotations, and then maybe—
like a Mariah Nagasu layback, yes, where it's just holding it.
And then maybe have it like go down into a like a different variation at the end or something. So it did have variations in it, but it would be so much more effective because then the spins could match the music. The spins.
Well, then
could...
it would be nice if you kind of took the footwork, the choreographed step approach, where it's like that is a base, and whatever you choose to do with that is going to be reflected in the GOE. Mm-hmm. And just give it a base value, and you need to hit 1, 2, 3 for it to qualify as a combination spin, and let the judges take it from there. And it is going to be more political, but it does open up some breathing room. It gives the opportunity for spins to make sense with the music. I was actually just in Boston promoting Worlds, and I was there with Scott Hamilton. And so they're playing videos of Scott and I on the Megatron, and he's doing his sit spin. And I'm like, I'm standing next to him, and I'm like, Scott, I don't know if your sit is low enough for it to count in this new system. And he, I'm like not quoting him directly, but he basically was like, that might be true, but it was a better spin. Like, it's right. Just more interesting to watch. Like, people are excited by watching someone do a plain, fast sit spin than they are watching someone heel hop, scratch their head, fingers crossed, hope for the best. Maybe they get a four, probably won't.
We're just getting so caught up in the stupid fucking details. Nobody mm-hmm. gives a fuck. Stop. Get the levels out of here. Like, now I've found...
Your voice.
I can't channel my rage of the presidential election into anything except
to... So you're
going to
send it to figure skaters, except for this system making Yuna Aoki do a heel hop.
Yes. Like, how dare you? And I'm going to say the free skate, for me, when I watched her free skate, I did tear up a little bit. And I will say that for me personally, when I watched her do that free skate, I went, good for her that she's going to have this moment forever where 30
she
years from now.
She was going to quit last year.
No, she can't. She can't
she,
do that.
She can't. She can't. No.
That thank God that she will have this moment in like 30 years when someone is like, oh, I would love to watch you skate, that she can pull this up and go, this is me.
This masterpiece. It takes so much for me to be interested in a program with soft music. Mm-hmm. And just the way that she connects everything. It's like one note the entire time because she never stops.
No, she skates like a crisp fall breeze.
Wow, that's beautiful. Isn't that? That's really so true, though.
Because you just get like this fresh air when she skates. It's just, it feels good. Light. It feels good.
Yeah. I am actually really happy, though, that in between Yuna and Kaori, we had Mona. Mm-hmm. Because I think if I watched Yuna and Kaori back to back, Kaori would have looked so jarring. And this is like an awesome skate for her. Yes. You know, she showed up, she stood up. I do feel like the program looks a little bit cleaner. It's not as sloppy as it was last time. So it was better, but I needed that Mona Chiba like middle ground.
Yes.
In order to like fully appreciate both.
You know, I'm gonna say something and maybe people will agree with me, maybe they won't. But the way that Yuna Aoki skates, she skates like the principal skater of ice capades, or she skates like the best skater that like people will go to Las Vegas to specifically watch.
Oh, I would just watch her run programs. I don't care about her jumps in the slightest.
Right. Me either.
I just don't. I just want to watch her skate.
And in fact, that she has to do so many is almost upsetting to me because I'd rather her not have to do them. I would much rather watch her do a program where she takes a jump out and I can just watch her like do something else. So,
you know what she kind of gives me, and I don't know if this is like on par, but you know how like you have no problem just watching Alyssa Cisney do spins and spirals?
Yes.
It's very that for me, where I would rather just watch her do a program of the things that she's really good at instead of having to be interrupted by the things that she's fine at.
I mean, it would bring more variation to the skaters at the top, because what she brings a quality that Kaori can't, right?
Mm-mm.
But the way that she skates is not in a... Kaori skates has a style that's very competitive. And Yuna does not have a style that is competitive that you'll find at the very, very top.
But those people need to be more visible. And that's what's sometimes frustrating about the way that skating is set up right now, is that she was extremely visible because A, she put it together when she needed to. B, it was NHK. And like everything just kind of fell into place. But I don't want to watch so much of this stupid shit that's messy and sloppy, and you're trying to get speed for your triple triples or for your quads, and so it's just crossover. Like, it's just not doing it for me anymore.
Ashley, so now I'm going to do a full episode on the changes I want implemented, but another thing is, like, I just think that we should go back to, like, we need step sequences, a straight line step, a diagonal, and a serpentine. And we need the spiral sequence back, because
that set the women from the girls apart.
Yes. And the thing about this choreographic sequence is that they've ruined beautiful elements. How many Ina Bowers did we see in an event? Every skater goes out and does a big ol' Ina Bower.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even matter if it matches with the music or not. Nobody's skating to the music because they can't.
Well, the other problem is I feel like the way that programs are typically set up, the choreographed step is going to be at the end of the program. And so it's music that is bigger, but then they're trying to do these movements that are a little bit more like lower energy or holding them for longer. So it's like big music, but to like an Ina Bower. So it just doesn't really, like, the weight doesn't match up. And so it's always in conflict with the music that's playing.
It's like the choreographic step, the character step in dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my least favorite.
I know.
Okay, I'm not going to jump around. I'm not going to jump around, I promise. But I want to just, now when I'm talking about character step, the Finnish dance team here, the free dance. Now, I'm going to say something. I actually didn't hate their character step because it was insane. Her, the woman of the Finn.
Yuka.
Yes, Yuka. Yuka is a girl from Instagram who's trying to sell me the brand new Charlotte Tilbury palette. And she's going, oh my God. Oh my God. Do you guys see that?
You guys. The shimmer?
Wait, oh my God. Wait, do you see? That's who she is. And she was selling me a Charlotte Tilbury palette. And
did
she
you
was
buy
selling
it?
Me.
They're in sixth, so I would assume it was good, but not good enough.
It was good. I really like them because they are ham. They are hamming for me. Now, something completely unforgivable. Leg warmers off the rack.
Okay, Adam, where do you think people get leg warmers from?
If you are...
What's an on-the-rack leg warmer?
I'm going to tell you the unforgivable part is that, you know, when you buy a pair of leg warmers and they have that little, sewn-out part for the heel.
For the ballet.
Yes, my love. You close it shut when you're going to use it as a costume.
Okay, that I'll give you that. I don't stand with you in your statement against off the rack. Do you expect Lisa McKinnon to be knitting?
I expect them. Bespoke. No, listen, there are shortcuts to making things custom, and they're inexpensive because
sewing up your heel hole.
Yes. The okay, details matter. Details yeah. matter. Have some self-respect. It's indignant. I don't
want to see the whites of your boots.
I don't want to see. No, especially if you're going to be wearing leg warmers. I understand. And your partner is in, he's dressed like he's just left the big top.
Okay. So we're just taking issue left and right here.
It's been a really rough week.
Maybe it's not a branding issue, but a matter of taste.
Yes. But I don't want them to get better taste because I actually really, I love the taste that they have. Because I want Finish. To see, I want to see the leg warmers off the rack. I want to see the permed pink hair. Like I want to see all of that. Because it's what makes the world go will. Around.
What okay, so think? I'm you're committing to dance at this point.
No, I'm jumping around. You can continue. Okay. You can jump around as well.
You were about to bring me a question. What am I thinking about what?
Did you notice that when Brady starts her short program, that to balance herself in her squat position, she does two peace signs?
Yes. Well, these two fingers are known to be the sturdiest of the body.
So she's using her fingers like a tripod. To hold herself up.
Oh my god.
I just like
I weak when I was ankles but strong fingers.
When I was watching her skate before she even got started, I went, is that a gang sign that she's doing to the ice? And she skated faster, but still not
fast enough. It's still a march.
Yeah.
She'd get caught.
And you know what? I was watching and it's like, it's not that she's not moving fast enough. It's just that the steps that were choreographed for her are just not quick.
Yeah, no, it's the choreography.
It's the choreography.
Yeah. It's just too steppy. And by not like full of steps, but she's stepping.
Okay, so no, wait. So you want to talk about Katya.
I do.
Kurokova.
Yes.
Okay, please tell me everything.
Okay, she is, you know, I see the kitten ears and I'm like, okay, yeah, this isn't, cats maybe look different than they do here in the US and Poland. She gets down on the ice and she's like doing her little kitty crouch and I'm eating it up. And then she like starts scratching at her neck and she does the costume change. And I immediately go, oh my God, she doesn't know she ripped off her costume.
Yes, I told
you. It's the same tone as her flesh. I thought she had boobs out.
Did you not see it? Did you not see it at Skate Canada?
No.
When I said, oh my God, she's taking her top off.
No, and then I remembered you saying that, and I fully realized why you thought that, because it looks like she's taking her top off.
No, and she's like in ecstasy. And so you're like, oh my God.
It fits the program.
Yes.
Fits the program.
And the thing is about the way that that costume is made, it's... Sometimes you can see an illusion coming, right? Like sometimes
I did not see that coming.
No, that costume, like if you need to, like if it was required to have a change of dress in the middle of program, you'd never know that that dress would change.
So yeah, you'd immediately be like, she's losing those points.
I was like, oh my, I knew it was coming this time. So like I was eating it up and I was like, oh, she's taking her top off, and it looks more and more like she's taking it off on purpose, like she's taking her top off.
Do you think, okay, I'm curious, as two people who haven't had a mid-ice costume change, do you practice that? Like how often do you have to practice with the costume to make sure that like you're taking it off properly?
I'd
be so nervous about that.
I'm going to be honest. I actually don't care because it's a cheap trick. How about we land our jumps? Why don't we stop
taking your top off, but
taking your top off is quite an expensive trick, actually. And now I also notice another thing about the two little oinklet ears is that they are two separate ears. I thought it was a headband.
I was thinking about that. It's not a headband. Well, it couldn't be a headband because the headband would fly off her head.
Well, I thought it would be easier to kind of like strap a headband on.
Well, I was annoyed at how they lacked perkiness, and it's because they're just like bobby pinned in.
But you know, Ashley, that makes it even funnier. Like, just imagine that the seamstress finishes the dress. She goes, "Here you go." And then she hands you a little Ziploc bag.
She's like, "Throw these in for something fun." Do you think it was free? Because sometimes Lisa would be like, "I made this bracelet for you to wear." And so I would.
I don't know.
I definitely paid for that bracelet. I just didn't know I paid for that bracelet.
I can imagine that she had to we need to get her on the podcast to confirm if she bought the ears or if they were suggested.
Or if she made them.
Saw the ears, I went, yes, you're right. Like, the colors are just, it's the wrong.
It's wrong.
Yes, like the dark color should be the outside and the pink should be the inside. Like, it is like an ear.
Yeah.
Because the pink on the outside, that's the ear pig. Of a pig.
It's a pig ear.
It's like Charlotte's Web.
Do you think she knows what Cats is about?
No. I think she thinks Cats is about Christina Aguilera working in a club that Cher is the manager of, and that at the very end they realize that the air rights
that
are
she needs
save,
to take off her top.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
The air rights are gonna save the club.
Yes.
It's a really good movie. I love Burlesque.
I think that's what Kurokova thinks Cats is about.
Well, that in fact leads me into the men. Okay. What do you think Daniel Grassel actually thinks Billy Elliot is about? Because I'm not too sure he knows. And as someone who's never seen Billy Elliot, I still don't know.
Oh, that was Billy Elliot?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
Could have fooled me.
What is going on?
It starts off with like, "If you're a bird, I'm a bird." It's not
no,
that,
again,
but it's
like,
definitely
cut
that.
The shit, everybody. Stop spoken with the word? Spoken word. Enough. If
well,
the, it, ugh, no, not well. Stop it. It's music is supposed to be music, and talking is talking.
This is a hater podcast.
I don't care anymore. I do not care. People need to learn. They need to go to like skating and performance cotillion.
There is a right and wrong way to do things. And I feel and fear that right now we're stuck in the wrong. Well, okay. So he goes out. I take a lot of issue with him in general. I would like to start with the like insane under rotations that just kind of never get addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I do feel like he's kind of defying physics. He's so tall and yet somehow gets around. So it's impressive. Just
wait,
he doesn't get around
so
all the way.
Is he so tall? Hold on. I need to.
He just looks like he's 6'5".
He's 5'9".
No, he's not. Wait. No, he's not.
Yeah, he's so
tall. What year?
Tall.
Is this his ISU bio that he hasn't updated since he was 13?
This is the, I'm looking on like google.com.
What does Google know?
He's 22 years old. He was born in 2002.
That tracks.
You know what? I'm just going to say this. It's crazy to me that somebody could be so loathed by a skating community based on a choice that they made that was insane.
By that you mean not updating his whereabouts and
no,
getting
by
a
going,
doping violation?
No, by going and skating with a Terry.
I mean, that was just the most insane choice to ever make. And I think, honestly, the way that people feel towards Daniel Grassel for going and working with a Terry is kind of how I feel towards people who went and voted for Trump.
Exactly.
It's like, that's how I feel. It's the same thing.
Yes. Like,
so if you want to know how Democrats in America feel right now, just think about that.
Yes. No, they just think like, oh, they're among us. Can I say another thing? This has nothing to do with Daniel. And you know what? Like, it was, you know, he hadn't skated in a while and he skated kind of.
Yeah. He skated like he skates.
Yes. He skated like he skates. The coach in the Kiss and Cry. I don't know who it is, but it does.
Either.
It looks like somebody who was. It looks like somebody. No, this. I'm going to give you two examples of what I think his coach looks like. Somebody who was just recently put into the witness protection program.
Wait, like in a wig?
Yes.
And like they can't remember their new name yet or their backstory?
Yes. Okay. Or somebody who is paid to spy on someone. Like, that's what his coach looks like. Because he has
identities cut from the same cloth.
Yes. Big glasses, a hat, a long moppy wig, and a full beard. And I'm like, that's not a real person. That's a disguise.
Wait, can you explain to me his short program? Because I didn't see the short program, although someone, I was like, I tweeted that I needed someone to give me some backstory to this long program because it makes no sense. And when someone said, this is Billy Elliot, I said, that still makes no sense. And then someone said, well, how about you try and start with explaining this first? It's a picture of his short program and he has just a question mark. The most offensive part of this question mark is that the little dot at the bottom of the question mark is not directly underneath it.
Well, you know what's crazy is that he has a question mark on his hand when he should really have carrots on his sheet.
Ah! Adam, that came to you so fast. That is so good.
I didn't get to watch the, and I don't mean to be such a hater today. Well, I do.
We're both in a bad way.
Can I say something quickly? Tomoki had a great free skate.
He did.
Now, a lot of wrist forward choreography. Maybe too many.
Too many wrist forward moments?
No, like his thing was about like wearing a watch or something. His music was. Had something to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't remember
now.
I do.
It. You know what it kind of reminded me of? I hope you remember this. So it's 1998.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember it.
I'm skating to Love Potion number 9.
What can you need? Yes, please explain this whole program.
So I'm skating to Love Potion number 9, and this was like back when you could compete like show programs and they were your artistic program. And so I skated the entire program with a little empty bottle taped to the top of my hand for some reason. And
when Ashley says empty bottle, like just imagine like you're on the plane and an empty like little tiny bottle of Tito's.
It looks like a salt shaker. It looks like a salt shaker. And it's just like somehow attached to my hand. And there's a part in the music where it goes, da 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 da, I took a drink. And so when it goes, I took a drink, I plug my nose. And I throw my little bottle up in the air. And
but
go,
her little hand is like limp because she has to get the bottle to
bottoms up. And I chugged it. And so that's kind of what Tomoki's program was evoking for me.
Yes. But I was really happy to see him like skate so well again. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
But that's Tomoki. And that's the thing that, like, you love it or hate it. Like, when he skates really well, he skates so well. And I love watching him when he's on. It's just when he's off, it's not like, just a little. It's, oh, my God.
Yes. Like Kawamura?
Oh, my God. Ugh. He could have had it all.
I made notes while I was watching everything. And I wrote, Kawamura, diva down.
Diva down. I was kind of like fast forwarding through the show on Peacock and I fast forwarded a little bit too far and I stopped right in the middle of his program and I see the little bar in the top left corner of the screen and it's just red, 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 green, red, 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 red. And I said, this didn't go well.
Ashley, did I send you at the French Grand Prix, the first French woman who went out had her yes. entire free skate was red boxes. And I said, I've never seen anything
I've never seen that. I'd never seen that.
Couldn't get one element done in a good way. Everything was done in a bad way. Everything from top to bottom. It's impressive. Yeah.
It was like Shinamano was out on the ice judging me.
Minus one, minus two. Yeah, Cow had a rough one. You know, yeah. Not really.
But, you know, sometimes I feel like he's been so on for a while and you're due a bad skate every now and then. It's just
That's
this was
true.
Pretty bad.
That is so true. Just one more thing about the ladies of like when I was watching Cowrie, I was laughing to myself because I was really like, oh, they just kind of sent her to Allen, Texas to just be like, okay, get your job done. But when you come home, you have to work. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, because the way that she skated here, it was like, oh, yes,
she'd
yes,
done
ma'am.
Run throughs.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
My literal thought when I saw her in Allen, Texas was, oh, she's been touring.
Oh, another thing. Touring. I need to say that Yilim Kim, okay? This is what I think about Yilim. When I'm thinking about like who really could be at the top, Yilim is really somebody who like has it all. But she's like brainwashed right
now.
Well,
she doesn't have the mental fortitude right now. That's what she doesn't have.
If I were Yilim, I would get onto some Christmas tour where there's 10 shows or there's 15 shows, and I would make her do her free skate in every one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's getting out into every single event just going, okay, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. It's either going to be bad or it's either going to be terrible. And she keeps digging herself into a hole that's deeper and deeper and deeper when it's like, we all know she can do these elements, but like she's so in her head about it where it's like, go on a Christmas tour and it doesn't matter how you feel or whatever, but like you're not going to be able to warm up. You're just going to have to go out every night under spotlights and do a free skate. And I'd be
I want to blame the Korean Federation a little bit.
Do
because
it.
they pit their women or their skaters against each other. And they like duke it out, see mm-hmm. who's the best. That's who's going to get our support. That's who we're going to send to the Olympics. And then it creates this hostile environment where every single competition feels like it's do or die, make or break. And then once you have a bunch of bad competitions in a row, you go out and every single time it's like, well, what now? You know, like the way that this federation approaches their team, I think makes it so unhealthy and sets their skaters up for failure, which is why the last couple of seasons you have not seen, not last couple of seasons, but I think like starting last year, you saw the skaters starting to crumble because they took that approach Olympic season and it paid off because it's like literally the psychology of working in fear. Yeah, it's going to work, but it's not sustainable.
I just think that also like now when the skaters, you have to be at least 18 to compete at the Olympics. That's like a mentality that doesn't work when you get older because everybody feeds like, you know, take for example, like Alyssa. Alyssa is out and she's skating really well and she's skated mm-hmm. like a clean long and she's had, you know, these really great skates over her, the two Grand Prix and she hasn't skated for like 2 years. The thing is she's doing it all because she wants to and she enjoys it.
Yeah.
And so she wants to be there and she doesn't feel like there's, you know, somebody's going to take something away from her. But like Yilim is just like in this cycle where somebody needs to snap her out of it. And she's obviously not motivated by something that's going on around her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing is you take something away from Alyssa, she's going to be like, so what? I have a life outside of skating.
Yes.
Like, my world isn't going to come crashing down. And you see these skaters get hyper-focused on the sport and their worlds surrounding them get smaller and smaller and smaller. And so when things go bad, it's not like, oh, this is a bad day. It's my entire world is terrible.
I think that she needs to go to, like, do a Germany Christmas tour and do her program because then you do it every night, and then you just stop thinking about like, oh my God, I'm nervous. You have to do it. You can go a little bit more on autopilot. And if she were able to do that, I really feel like that would like help her mind. And then she'd get back to competition and she'd be like exponentially better, because she's not building this up to be some like really dramatic, crazy, scary thing. Now, when we speak of crazy, scary things, I watched the pairs. This actually was not a bad, I only watched the top three, but it was not bad to watch. I'm telling you, because Danny and Ellie have, I think, like the best lifts and like transitional lifts.
Like, I really like their pair skating.
I do too, but beautiful. The throws, I think, and when I say I don't know what I'm talking about, I really want you to take that to heart when I say that. I don't
fully confirm he does not know a single thing.
But I'm just sort of like, maybe throw less
or
land.
That's the goal. The goal should be landing. And I think your issue is that you're not entirely sure if that is clear.
That's correct. Now, the thing that is clear to me is I really did like Allison Reed's tutu costume.
Me too.
Sorry. I loved
Let's
it.
Let's go for it. Okay. I don't entirely understand this team. Like, I watch them and I don't think I have like the best dance eye, and I'll be the first person to say that, but like when I don't understand something, I usually just like text Sarah and I'm like, can you kind of explain this to me? And she couldn't really explain it to me either, but then I gave it another watch. She's camp.
Yeah, I like this team, but I think the thing that you are seeing is that I feel like when I'm watching them, they're both conserving just a bit of energy the whole entire time.
Like holding back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're doing all the right things and they're doing like that. It's just like that next little like bump up to be like, oh, this is the team, because they do everything really well. Do I know what their free dance is about? It's about Allison Reed being a dead doll that gets turned to life that kills her partner, turning into him a dead doll. That's what I gathered from it.
Okay, I thought that was like actually what she had said.
It's not that far-fetched.
No,
from being,
it's not.
I'm a girl
like,
on a ship
like,
that died. There's a lot of like
no mention of a ship, but mention of a chair and a table.
I know. I think in like just to go back to spoken word, it's not slam poetry. It's like a skating competition. Like, stop. Why are we doing haikus at the beginning of these things? This is crazy.
What is it? 5-7-3?
5-7-5, isn't it? Hold on. A haiku is 5-7-5.
Okay, so no 3 and no additional 7.
Like, this is a haiku. Poetry. I tend my garden as I meditate hope in a broken world. That's the beginning of every program that Benoit has choreographed this year. Here's another one. I am warm honey. I am sweet cream and cherries. Lick me like candy.
Oh my God. This is not suitable for work.
Here's another one. Newness of the day. Bursting forth reassurance. Light follows the dark. This is exactly like, and then you can't put that in the middle of a program and go, it's Billy Elliot. But Dad, I want to dance.
I don't know anything about Billy Elliot.
Billy Elliot is like, this kid wants to dance and his dad tells him no. Something like that. Hold on, I'm going to look
like
it up.
He needed a few more dance lessons, if I'm being honest. It didn't look like natural talent was going to take him
Well,
far
Billy
enough.
Elliot wants to have more dance lessons. His dad just won't let him. And I think the program was just
yeah,
at
but
the
I
part
think Billy
of his
Elliot
life.
Has more natural gift.
I don't know if I. Well. He didn't have the gift of dance.
Billy Elliot updated his whereabouts.
The life of 11-year-old Billy Elliot, a coal miner's son.
11?
Yes.
He's supposed to be an 11-year-old boy?
Let me finish
He's
before
22.
We...
He's 22.
Let me finish before we get even there.
Okay.
The life of 11-year-old Billy Elliot, a coal miner's son in northern England, is forever changed one day when he stumbles upon a ballet class during his weekly boxing lesson. Before long, he finds himself in dance, demonstrating the kind of raw talent seldom seen by the classes. I was looking at a picture. Before long, he finds himself in dance demonstrating the kind of raw talent seldom seen by the class's instructor, Mrs. Wilkinson. With a tart tongue and a never-ending steam of cigarettes in her hand, Mrs. Wilkinson's zest for teaching is riveted when she sees Billy's potential.
So do you think he was Miss Wilkinson?
I think that
he was the cigarette.
He was the cigarette.
I do have one more funny tweet just to like give someone credit. So figure skating fan, skating mama bear, said fierce or flutz, skating an entire ballet program without pointing your toes once.
Fierce.
Fierce.
Very fierce.
It is hard to point your toes in skating boots, though.
It's not that hard, Ashley. Oh, wait. I want to say one more thing. Andrew Torgashev, 2 clean lung programs on the Grand Prix.
Okay. I was literally about to tell you. We owe Andrew Torgashev California Pizza Kitchen if he skates 2 clean long programs, or no, 2 clean programs at Nationals.
Yeah. That's on us.
I told him that. He tweeted at me and said, will you bring me a pizza in the kiss and cry if I skate a clean long program? And I said,
no,
you little bitch, skate 2 clean programs and then we'll take you out into the real world.
Yeah. And I'm not going to like preemptively buy this so you could have a cold pizza.
No. You deserve hot pizza from California. But I deserve clean skates. You have to earn it, and one program is not enough. If listeners of the pod know anything, it's that we
demand perfection.
Perfection.
Now.
He was so good. I am really excited that he's kind of had this Grand Prix trajectory so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and to skate back-to-back events, and to go, I think they went back home to California. I think he went from France to California, was there for like a hot second, and then on to NHK.
Yeah, that's quite intense. But I was really impressed with the way that he skated throughout the whole Grand Prix. I think so that he's good. Just really on track.
It's because he's a good skater.
Yeah.
He's a good skater. He has one bit of choreography in his free skate that I had to pause and rewind because it's so clearly one of Raph's like weird exercises that Raph is like, why not make this choreography?
Mm-hmm.
And it's into a triple axel and it's amazing.
Yes. I think now that he's becoming more comfortable and consistent in his programs, I think that like a lot of the weird like Raph stuff, he can start to like open it up and do some more like, I think he can just relax into the program a little bit more because I know that he can perform the hell out of an arena and I can see that he's like restraining himself to get the job done. But now that he knows that he can get the job done, I think that he can start like letting go a little bit and really just like he has the foundation to now take it to the next level. Like he really does have it all right now.
He's repeating his short from last year and I love this short. Yes. I think it's so good.
I love the short and I think that I really respect him for doing this long because it's not really truly his style, but I think he's doing it well.
Well, what do you think his style is?
He's more that short program.
Yeah. I just think that he is such a great skater and performer that you can give him a lot of different kinds of music and he's gonna know what to do with it. I like it. I think it suits him.
Mm-hmm. I think he does a nice job with it, but I think that if he starts to just perform and just kind of relax into the ice a bit more, that's what's gonna take it to like the next level so that when he goes mm-hmm. to Nationals, he can be like, you know, I'm gonna be on that world team. I'm gonna be on that Olympic team. So that it will start to separate him a little bit more.
Right now, what do you think the world team could potentially look like?
There are 3 spots.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, I think Ilya is obviously going. And yeah. If you're asking me, this is like a defining moment for Andrew, where it's like mm-hmm. Andrew can solidify himself as like the second American over Jason. He beat Jason at both of his Grand Prix, and Nationals will be like the final step on to the next step of the podium of like, no, I am the future. I am here. I am the second American.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think I'm curious about Jason's intentions with competing on the Grand Prix circuit. I think he kind of had to if he wanted to be taken seriously as a person to send to the Olympics. I think U.S. figure skating is going to have a harder and harder time making a claim or an argument for him to be on that team if he doesn't have those world points, if he doesn't have the Grand... I mean, the criteria, when you're looking at the Olympics, leading up to the Olympics, these Grand Prix are part of the criteria. Mm-hmm. So I think he kind of has to be doing this. But then again, I just don't know if these last two Grand Prix have done him any favors.
Yeah, definitely not. So you know what? Like, the thing is I think like this Grand Prix series isn't what's going to be. It's not in the criteria, but next year's Grand Prix is. And if you haven't done the Grand Prix for a while, the year of the Olympics is not the year to start. So
no,
you're right.
No,
like,
no,
he
no.
has
That's...
to do them this year for himself to prepare to do them for next year.
Well, because he has to get into the rhythm of the competition season. When you get into this habit of competing once at Nationals, once at Worlds, I mean, and that's not to say that he's doing nothing. He's on tour. He's performing. Like, he's busy. But the Grand Prix take energy out of you.
And
you
competing
have to pace yourself.
Is way different than shows.
Yep. Yep, it's just not the same. And so he has to do this, and I get why he's doing it.
Well, and it's just, and you know what? Like, he's really experienced. He's competing at an age that we did not compete at.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of in uncharted waters right now. And I think he's going to have to figure out, like, how realistic is it going to be for him to compete, like, another season? Maybe it's totally realistic. And maybe he, like, there's a part of his mind where he's like, I just need to get the bugs out, like, this year mm-hmm. and get to Nationals and get to Worlds and just, like, I have to ride this out. And then by the time he gets to next season, he's like, okay, now I'm in it. Like,
now
the wheels are greased and I'm ready to... go. But you know what, like, it is, yeah, it's hard to see somebody who, you know, can do a lot more than what they're putting out there. These Grand Prix didn't do him any favors,
but I don't think he's at risk of not being named to the world team right now.
No, I don't. But I think what he's at a risk of, the only risk I see him at right now is that he's given Andrew an open door to move into the spot of going, well, if they're going to put two people on the Olympic team event, it's going to be me. It's not going to be you. It's his biggest risk right now, is that Andrew at this point has the trajectory of being named to the team event for an Olympic medal.
I also think, though, for this is more for Andrew. I think it's really good for him to have someone like Jason to be chasing and trying to kind of go in front of. Because if he didn't have Jason, and if you're just looking at Ilya and you're like, okay, this is the guy that I have to beat. It's like, what do I do with that? Like,
yes.
It feels like this impossible chase, but having someone like Jason to be kind of pushing in front of, that's attainable.
Honestly, they should, like, U.S. figure skating should be paying Jason to stay in competition so that, like, the younger American boys can be like, no, I got it, claw, like, tooth and nail, I got to beat Jason, like, I have to go mm-hmm. after him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, you know, Jason said it before Nationals last year when we were interviewing him,
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to keep skating and the younger generation has to come and take it. And if they're not going to come and take it, I'm going to keep skating.
I loved when he said that.
And
it's true. So true.
And
you want it? Beat him.
And you know what? Skating at a Nationals is like a totally different beast than it is skating at a Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, like, Andrew needs to take the momentum that he has had from the Grand Prix, and the final stamp needs to be Nationals, and then he needs to skate the exact same clean programs at Worlds, and then that is the kunk kunk. That's the stamp of approval of, like, you have solidified yourself going into the Olympic season as the second American.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we forget everything. And if Jason gets second at nationals, nobody will remember what happened at the Grand Prix.
Nope, nope. It's not done yet. He still has work left to do.
Yes.
But I think he can do it. Can we talk about the elephant in the room?
We can.
And that's the fact that Tessa Virtue competed this weekend.
Okay, I want to say something about this. I think Christina and Anthony skating to Carmen, it's kind of a risk because their coach famously has one of the most famous Carmens in skating.
Yes.
But this is what I have to say. If you're going to take a warhorse, you need to make it your own. And when they went out in those costumes, I didn't exactly know what they were skating to. And then as soon as the music started, I went, oh, this is a completely fresh and new take. And they're going to make it their own. And there were definitely moments of, like, they took the Carmen theme in the same vein as Tessa and Scott did. But they were really I could see that they were inspired by Tessa and Scott, but they were doing everything they could to make it their program. And so I thought there's a lot of work to be done, but this is exactly the right way. How do I make something that's, like, very famous for someone else famous for me?
It was so smart. It was so good. They looked amazing. This new, like, seductive temptress kind of approach that they're putting onto Christina, I think it fits her so well. You can see Maddie's influence in a big way.
Yes.
Just like the command that she has and the way that you can, that she makes you feel like she's manipulating Anthony, and just that raw chemistry that you see out on the ice, her owning this, like, sexual woman, femme fatale, temptress, like, all of these different kind of more intense, strong kind of characters that women can play, it suits her so well. And I love, 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 love this program for them.
Yeah, I love it for them. And I would say, like, the first, like, 45 seconds a minute, I was getting some chills. I was like, oh, this is quite good. And I think as the season gets going, they're going to get more and more comfortable with it, and they're going to add more nuances to the music, and it's only going to get better and better. But I was really impressed kind of by the gall of them even thinking that they could tackle this.
Well, they were allowed to because it's literally Scott telling them what to do.
Right.
I feel like if you have a green pass, like, this is it.
It makes me respect them even more, where they're like, no, we're going to take this on. And I think because of that, I saw them in a light that I hadn't seen them before, where I was like, oh, you're really going to be, like, established this year. Mm-hmm. And you're really trying to break through into kind of an ether you haven't been in yet. And I think this is the kind of material that could work. And I did kind of love that he gets the lipstick on his face in the middle of the program. I think that's...
Oh, wait. Okay. I wanted to ask you about this. What are your thoughts on, like, lip-to-lip contact mid-program?
When I saw it, when you say it like that, I go, I think that's bad touch. But when I saw it, I went, oh.
Good touch.
Yes.
Good touch.
Absolutely yes. Because it's like, it looks, when the program's over and she's dead and he has, like, the passioned kiss lipstick.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, no, that's correct.
That's drama. And that's what I want more of in this world.
And you know what? That's not a cheap trick. That's not like when the Georgian pair skaters go out and she unclips a little clip and she puts a hood on at the very last second. That's a cheap trick.
Oh, well, yeah, because you're not committed to skating in a hood. If you're going to do it,
no,
hood
but
up.
He's committed to skating the last 2 minutes with wearing lipstick that he stole from her. And I loved it. And I'm like, that's how you make this a signature program. You do those things. And now when I think of Carmen, I'm going to think of her, like, yellow greenish dress. I'm not going to think of red and black. I'm going to think of that.
Wait, there was good board touching. She takes him up to the board.
That was,
and mounts him.
Yes. That was
good board touching.
That was, I was okay with it.
Well, that was because it was back to board.
Now, another good board touch was the Finnish dance team who were doing 5, 6, 7, 8. And their whole, their character step took about 45 minutes for them to make it from one short wall to the next, where they were doing the can-can, they were doing the, and I was going, yes, finally, somebody's doing this right.
Okay, I want to talk about Green and Parsons really quickly. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're trying to capture the fanfare that they got with the very modern program that they had, what, like 2 seasons ago? Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know if they're, they have the right, I don't know, approach that they need to have to kind of help them stand out amongst this like pretty heavy U.S. scene.
Yeah, they're kind of at a crossroads right now. But I will say that Caroline looks a bit older. Mm-hmm. And it makes me look at this team in a light where I feel like they are maturing together now. Because mm-hmm. before, there was a part of me where I was like, Michael looks older than her. And it felt like this older man skating with this young girl. And now I feel like it's two adults skating
like
together. Yes, they look like peers. Mm-hmm. So I feel more invested into their performance, but I totally hear what you're saying where it feels like they're trying to capture the same lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, and I don't want them to get stuck on that because they are a great team, but if you're always chasing like past success, it's just never, the magic's already gone.
Yes. Like, it's almost like they're fishing for a signature style.
Well, because, and this is the reason why the entire program got ruined for me. There's a moment where she has flexed feet and she jumps up into his arms and she makes like a human V. And then he just puts her down. And that was it. And that's when I said they're trying to do that thing they did a couple years ago.
And that's your professional
and that's
educated
my professional
take.
Educated dance take. Can we talk about Lady Luck?
Yes.
This program.
This was much better than Skate America.
And I liked it at Skate America too. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, oh, this is expensive. It looks so expensive.
Now, speaking of trying to find a signature style, for as many seasons as Maddie and Evan have skated, I now watch them and I'm going, oh, this is the style. This is your style.
Yeah. I don't want to see an alien. I don't want to see.
No, this is right for them because it's like Maddie is still the star, but Evan is so American looking.
Oh my God, Mr. Debonair, this is it. Do this.
Yes, they do this and they build upon this and they make this a little different or more exciting or softer or something. They manipulate this into the Olympic season and it's going to be like the program of their career. Like this is, they have found the style where I'm going, oh my God, yes, this is how you both look like stars. This is
Give
how
me
it's
Gilded Age. I just want the Gilded Age. It's so good. I just love them. Because he doesn't just disappear. And I think sometimes that's what I notice is like, they just don't, not that they don't know what to do with him. They're world champions. Like they both know what they're doing. But sometimes I feel like they have to give him a character to like explain his role. But this, I'm like, no, I'm just watching him.
They're both so beautiful in such different ways. Because he's very like a classic all-American boy looking. And she's so exotic looking.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't choose. Yes. You have to either go classic or you go exotic. And when you go classic, Maddie, who's so exotic, takes over because it becomes ethereal. But when you go American, she goes American. And she goes. And so that's why I'm like.
Because she's an American citizen.
Exactly. That's what makes America incredible. That's
gilded again.
Gilded. Before we end, I want to say I know that everything can be crazy right now, but I just want to say that it's all gonna be. Yes.
Period.
It's all gonna be, and I can't wait
I will just say that my dad is special forces and he hasn't told me to leave yet. So, so if Eric Wagner says, pack your bags, I'll let you guys know.
I think that would be really kind of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Finlandia Trophy is coming up and I can't wait for our fifth Grand Prix of the season.
I can't believe that we're five Grand Prix in and we haven't had Sarah on yet.
Yeah.
Miss you, boo. Wait, before we talk about Finland, I do just want to say the Japanese Olympic team came out onto the ice with their medals and silver's never looked so good.
Oh, I didn't see. I saw some pictures.
Yeah, they're at the exhibition.
That's amazing.
Okay. So friends of the pod, we want to float an idea by you. Adam and I were talking.
Even with Sarah, we were.
Boston Worlds.
We were talking.
Yeah, with Sarah. This was Sarah's idea.
We were talking.
Sarah's idea. And we want to do a live show at Worlds in Boston.
Yeah, so we're thinking about that. So if that's something that you guys would actually be interested in, I think we might look more into it. But Sarah was like, that could be kind of fun. And we agree. And so we think it could be fun to do a live show. So we're just kind of floating the idea. And so if this is something that you guys would be into, we'll look into it and we'll try to get some of the pieces together.
But tweet, message, shout from the rooftops, whatever works. But we want to know if it would make sense for us to... I'll be there. So it's more, should Adam get on a plane?
And you can tweet it using the hashtag run through live show. Yes, I want it. Boston Worlds 2026.
And we'll make sure to look that up.
All right, guys. It's been real.
It's been. It'll be.
And we'll see you next week. Thank you all again for listening to The Run Through, your favorite figure skating podcast where we talk all things. Period.
Period.
Goodbye.
Bye.